This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Is responsible. From Cold Case Productions, this is Final Days on Earth, the life and death of Damien Hurd. Episode 8, The Rumor Mill. I'm your host, Claire Sanima. Thanks for listening. In every investigation, the police hear the truth and they hear lies. Good detectives know how to sift through statements to find the nugget of truth that could be buried in a rumor. In Damien's case, there were no shortage of rumors to mine for facts.
So what do you think happened?
I really don't know. I think he was still pissed off. I think he was pissed off at that girl. And I think he did something stupid.
Have you heard anything from anybody else?
There's a lot of rumors going around.
During a six-month investigation by Gunnison Police Department, Damien's friends brought up a variety of theories about what might have happened to the freshman wrestler. This is Courtney Birch, one of the roommates at the wrestler's house and one of Damien's best friends.
I'm just asking this because I don't know him at all. What do you think could have happened to him?
Well, I've heard some of the questions you've been asking the other boys, which is making me think it wasn't an accident. But my impression was that he, for whatever reason, left our house when he normally would have slept there. Had to have walked back to the dorms to get his car.
Was his car at your house when you got home at 1:30?
No. And he didn't drive over there that day, I don't believe. My assumption was that he maybe just got cold. Fell asleep and got cold.
Was he capable of doing something to himself?
I don't think so. He was honestly like one of the happiest kids ever, and even when he was having issues with like Marlena or whatever, it was still just kind of like, whatever.
Courtney's talking about Damien's ex-girlfriend, Marlena Romero, the source of his fight with cross-country runner Anthony Rios, who had recently started dating Marlena. Even though Damien was upset about that development, his friends didn't think he was depressed enough that he'd hurt himself over it.
Even when he did have a problem, he always had a really positive attitude about him with his knee. He was positive about getting for next season and with Marlena. I mean, he was positive about being with Amber, so I mean he was never a negative kid by any means.
Courtney says after his breakup with Marlena, Damien was talking to another girl named Amber. She goes on to mention another point of stress in Damien's life, a knee injury that ended his wrestling season early.
He was always looking forward to next season of wrestling because he got hurt this season and wasn't able to finish.
Here is Damien's dad, Gary Hurd.
I'm sure he was a little bummed out. I know he was a little bummed out about not getting to wrestle it out, but he made the conscious decision to not risk the injury getting worse. And about a week and a half to 2 weeks before regionals, Damien made the decision to not finish the season, to let the knee heal, have a good off season, and come back strong the next year.
Courtney knew that Damien had the support of his dad and his teammates through the injury.
I mean, he always talked about his dad, and I just don't think it's possible. I mean, he always had a place to go. I mean, he was family to us. I don't think he would have done anything to hurt himself.
After getting Courtney's thoughts on suicide, Detective Danos switches gears.
Is there any concern that somebody else did something to it? Whether it was intentional or accidentally?
I don't think so. I mean, like I said, I mean, to my house, like, he was family. I mean, he was never not with us. The whole wrestling team loved him, and I couldn't see anyone hurting him.
Do you have any questions for me, Courtney? I can't tell you what happened.
No, you can't tell me what happened.
And a lot of it is because I'm not 100% positive.
There's a lot to unpack here. For starters, Courtney says she doesn't think Damien was capable of hurting himself. She describes him as having a positive attitude about everything from his recent breakup with Marlena to his season-ending knee injury. When the topic changes to the possibility that someone else hurt Damien, Courtney is incredulous and emotional.
I guess it's just the question of whether or not somebody would have hurt him is definitely an unsettling question, knowing that there's a chance that someone did hurt him. And I know you can't tell.
If somebody hurt him, who do you think hurt him?
I don't think they did, but I'm just saying based on your question, that's right. Kind of where my mind is bleeding that something happened to him.
If somebody had hurt him, who do you think might have hurt him?
I can't think of anything.
Do you think, exactly. So if there's nobody sticking out in your mind, I mean, these guys kind of live in a culture where, I mean, they wrestle. They're rough as football. They're like a bunch of bulls in a, you know. So at any rate, you're around the majority of those guys all the time. Do you get any indication whatsoever that any of those boys accidentally hurt him?
And as much as they all loved him, if that were the case, by now one of them would have said something. So I have no, I'm 100% positive that none of my roommates,
so,
Ammo, Elliot, or Kyle could have done
you're
anything.
Pretty close with all those guys, too. You live with them, they're like your brothers, or however you describe yourself as family. Would you, if something like that did happen and they came out, I mean, how comfortable are you going to be? Telling me and this, you know, sitting here talking, that hey, one of these guys did this.
I mean, I definitely would be able to say something if that's the case, and that has not happened. I mean, everybody is extremely torn up, and I mean, we all feel somewhat responsible, but he left our house that night.
You can hear how baffled she is by the whole sad situation. And the strangest part is, Courtney says, that Damien got up and left the wrestler's house at all.
The fact that he left your house, I'm getting the impression that's
out of the ordinary. That's definitely out of the ordinary.
One of the most common questions Detective Chris Danos asked witnesses in this case was their theory on what happened to Damien. Like in this conversation with wrestler Zach Schenck.
After we've spoken, you realize Damien's not here anymore. What do you think happened?
I don't know. It's just so hard to believe with all the rumors going on. Like, I don't want to, like, buy into anything. Honestly.
No, rumors set aside. What do you think? Because I'm sure you're trying to make sense of it in your own head.
I can't make sense of it. That's the shitty part. I really can't.
The most common theories from Damien's friends included the freshman wrestler freezing to death or dying of a drug overdose.
Where'd you hear he had used LSD? Or he had used acid?
I've just been hearing people talking about it.
Anybody that you would go, wow, that you trust, that you heard it from, that would make it reliable?
No. There's been so many possibilities, and that was one of them. Like, I've heard that he might have done that, he might have hung himself, he might have froze to death. When I try to make something make sense, and it's like, well, how come, like why would he even be out there in the first place, and if that's what I think.
Did you guys ever go east of town to do anything?
No. No. Never been out there. I don't think that we ever really left town together besides wrestling.
Courtney Birch expressed similar confusion about the location east of town, where Damien's body was found at Cabin Creek.
Was there any place outside the city limits that meant something to Damien? Was there any other place that you visited outside of town? Ever go to Hartman's? Ever go to the lake?
No.
Okay.
In passing, Detective Danos mentioned the location Hartman's, which is a public recreation area in Gunnison. It's about 15 miles away from where Damien's body was found, and in the opposite direction, west. At first blush, it seemed like a bizarre place to bring up at all. But then I Googled it. Let's see, Hartman's. Hartman Rocks Recreation Area includes over 8,000 acres of public land, jointly managed by the Bureau of Land Management, the City of Gunnison, and Gunnison County. It's a paradise of desert mountain biking, hiking, motorcycling, rock climbing, horseback riding, and trail running. It's actually quite similar to the location where Damien was found. Both are Bureau of Land Management properties, both have mountain bike and hiking trails, and honestly, when I pulled up a picture of Hartman Rocks, I thought I might be looking at the scene where Damien's body was found at Cabin Creek. It actually makes sense that someone familiar with Hartman's would also know about the trails at Cabin Creek, but that person doesn't appear to be Damien, or his wrestling friends. This is Detective Grace Cowan talking to Devin Zavala.
Does he like to go anyplace just to chill?
No. Usually he just goes back to his dorm room and watches movies.
Does he run?
No, he hates running. He hates running.
So no cross-country skiing or anything like that?
None of that. No hikes, none of that. He's not that type of person at all.
Okay, so he wouldn't go out on a hike by himself?
No, he'd rather play a video game than do that.
Detectives asked nearly every person they interviewed a similar question, trying to find a connection between Damien and the remote location where his body was found. In my review of the case file, and from my own conversations with Damien's friends and family, one of the strangest things that sticks out in my mind is that Damien was outdoors at all. You've probably heard it said that there are two types of people in the world, indoor cats and outdoor cats. This is certainly true of journalists as much as anybody. Even before the pandemic, if you catch me in the office more than 2 days in a row, something is wrong. I'm an outdoor cat all the way. But according to everyone who knew Damien, he was an indoor cat. Yes, he liked longboarding and swimming in the river during the summer, but he was not a camper, a hiker, or a mountain biker. And like any true Texan, he hated the cold Colorado winters. When you're talking about a suicide, the location is usually someplace with a special relationship to the victim. Their own home, their own car, a place with a specific memory tied to it. And the same is true for homicides. Killers rarely dump a body in a location that is unfamiliar to them. In the 45-plus interviews that police conducted in this case, they never reported finding a connection to Damien and the Cabin Creek location where he died. But there were other rumors, ones that implicated someone else was responsible for Damien's death, someone who would have been familiar with locations east of Gunnison. This is wrestling captain Kyle Pyatt in his second interview with police on April 8th, 2014.
Do you have any idea what happened to him?
No, I didn't really do this yesterday.
Have you heard anything from anybody else?
There's a lot of rumors going around.
Like what?
That people, like, jumped him and then took his car and took him out there and dumped him off. Just shit like that.
Where'd you hear that?
Just around school.
What wrestling captain Kyle Pyatt told Detective Danos here is notably different than the idea that Damien froze to death or died of a drug overdose. It contains several details consistent with the death scene and indicates the possibility of foul play. Exactly 1 day later, police heard more about the rumor that Damien had been jumped and his body dumped. This is wrestler Andrew Morris talking to Detective Danos on April 9th.
And I've heard, like, rumors from, I know people in Pueblo are saying that he got beat up and was hung from jumper cables. That's what's going around in Pueblo.
This remarkable statement comes just 1 week after Damien's body was found. At this stage in the investigation, police have not disclosed the cause of Damien's death as hanging, and they certainly didn't specify that he was hung with jumper cables.
Pueblo, now what's the relationship with Pueblo? Somebody knows him in Pueblo, I think.
When I looked up the town of Pueblo, I learned it's about 3 hours east of Gunnison, off Highway 50. And it's a straight shot from the Cabin Creek location where Damien's body was found. In fact, if you follow the path east from Tamichi Avenue in Gunnison, where those two wrestlers reported seeing Damien's car traveling at a high rate of speed after his death, the road merges with Highway 50, and it intersects with the Cabin Creek location where Damien was found. It stands to reason that someone from Pueblo, who went to Western State, would be familiar with the Cabin Creek turnoff.
I don't know. Well, they said the track kids beat him up, and then, like, hung him up. I don't think they'd do that.
Following Andrew's lead, I reviewed the track and field roster from 2014. It lists two members with hometowns as Pueblo, Colorado. Michael Saronia, a sophomore, and Michael Schmidt, a senior. Both were cross-country runners. In fact, one of the cross-country runners from Pueblo was well known to the Gunnison Police Department.
Yeah, Mike Schmidt.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Mike. He actually did an intern with us.
Cool.
So, yeah.
In small talk with Tyler Gates before his interview got underway, Detective Grace Cowan casually mentions that cross-country runner Michael Schmidt worked as an intern for the Gunnison Police Department. To me, that's pretty interesting. And if I were a detective working on an unexplained death investigation, I would certainly follow up with a former intern who was connected to the case. The fact that Mike Schmidt was from Pueblo, ran cross-country, and was familiar to Gunnison police makes him a natural fit for a source of information. But there is no record that anyone ever interviewed Mike Schmidt or other track members from Pueblo in connection to Damien's disappearance and death. To me, it's yet another example of a promising lead with no follow-through. Detectives tried to find out if anyone had a beef with Damien before the altercation on Saturday night, but every conversation turned back to his fight with the track team. Here again is Detective Chris Danos interviewing wrestler Andrew Morris.
If anybody was going to beat him up, who was going to beat him up? I don't think anybody would beat Damien up, really. Except, I don't really know. The kid that I think would beat him up was the kid that he...
Andrew stopped short of naming cross-country runner Anthony Rios as the kid that Damien fought with at the wrestler's party.
Where, if that was going to happen, where would that have happened at? If he was going to get beat up and something happened to him? I figured they'd probably try to come back to our house.
And is anybody going to touch Damien at your place?
No. Nobody.
And why is that?
Well, we would probably help him out. Like, we would probably stop the fight if it happened at our house, because we can't do this here, you know, go somewhere else.
In this telling exchange, Andrew says if anyone was going to beat up Damien, it would probably be Anthony Rios. And if that were going to happen, Andrew believes the cross-country runner would come back to the wrestling house and likely be told to, quote, go somewhere else to finish the fight. Somewhere else, like a remote area of town, on a familiar route? Someplace like Cabin Creek? Police focused the majority of their investigation into Damien's death on members of the wrestling team.
He got in some type of altercation with one of you guys?
No.
If he did, do you think something could have happened to him?
No.
Even if it wasn't on purpose? Somebody accidentally hurt him?
No. We were all, like, really, really good friends with Damien. Especially the house.
Nobody would?
No.
Not even accidentally?
No.
You confident of that?
100% confident.
Although they spoke to nearly a dozen of Damien's wrestling teammates, detectives recorded interviews with just three members of the track team, none of which were involved in the fight with Damien. And even after hearing about a very specific rumor, they never talked to the two cross-country runners from Pueblo. I'm not accusing anyone of harming Damien, but it's clear that there are people with a direct connection to this case who the police have never contacted. And there are viable theories embedded in witness interviews that were never fully explored.
Do you have any names of this rumor stuff coming out of Pueblo?
No.
Where is it? Where are you getting it from?
My brother told me this.
Is he in Pueblo?
Yeah, he knows Pueblo.
What's your brother's name?
Justin Morris.
Justin?
Yeah.
Detective Danos dialed up Andrew's brother that same day.
Hello? Justin.
Yeah?
Hey, it's Chris Danos. I'm with the Gunnison Police Department.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Do you have a second for me?
Sure do.
Detective Danos asked Justin what rumors he heard about the wrestler who died in Gunnison.
Someone that knows that me down here in Pueblo... said that he had hung himself with his own cables or something like that.
When Andrew spoke to Detective Danos at 11 a.m., he said that the rumor out of Pueblo was that Damien had been beaten up by track kids and hung from jumper cables. Now, 5 hours later, the rumor has morphed into Damien hanging himself with his own cables. And the source of the rumor keeps getting passed down the line. Andrew says he heard it from his brother Justin. And Justin has a long list of people who separate him from the source.
Yeah, it's Tammy Garcia.
Garcia?
But she was hearing it from, it's a long list. Her daughter knows somebody up in Gunnison. It's a long list, and then it's all coming from a kid named Noah, and I don't know who this
Noah?
Kid is. Yeah.
And do you know where Noah's at or where he's from?
I have no clue who he is.
But
that's why I asked.
That was the source of the information, was a kid named Noah?
Yeah, that's the source.
And then what was Noah saying?
That's that he had committed suicide and he had hung himself with cables. It was like his car cables or something like that.
I'm not sure what to make of Justin's rambling account to police. In the 5 hours between Andrew Morris's interview with Detective Danos and his conversation with Justin Morris, the rumor changed from homicide to suicide.
You were told that he had done something to himself. It wasn't that anybody had beaten him up or done anything like that?
No, it was suicide, and that's what he had done or something like that. I was asking my brother, like, what happened, and he's like, you guys haven't really released anything yet. Pretty much all the people down here are just hearing the rumors.
Gotcha.
From a source spreading Gunnison. Whoever the Noah kid is, that's where the source is coming from.
Okay.
So.
All
right. Hopefully that helps.
It does. Thank you very much, Justin.
So. Yep.
All right. Have a good day.
You too.
Bye.
This telephone interview took place on April 9th, 2014. 2 months later, on June 11th, I got a call from Detective Danos. At the time, I was working for the Daily News website Culture Map Dallas, and I'd written several articles about Damien's case. It's pretty unusual for investigators to call up journalists out of the blue, so my interest was piqued. I wish I'd recorded the conversation, but unfortunately, I wasn't working on my podcast yet. I did, however, take notes during the call. Danos told me he was, quote, trying to authenticate information he had received about Damien's case. And then he asked me to tell him everything I knew to be public information about Damien's death prior to April 9th. He said someone had come forward with information about the condition of Damien's body that had, to his knowledge, never been published before. Based on the timeline that Danos gave me, I connected this call to his interviews with Andrew Morris and Justin Morris. The last piece of information that Justin gave Detective Danos was that the source of the jumper cable rumor was a kid named Noah. Danos told me he was never able to identify the alleged source. Let's recap. Police didn't attempt to contact the two cross-country runners from Pueblo, and they didn't follow up with Anthony Rios or cross-country captain Sam Vandeveld after hearing about the rumor that Damien was beaten up by track kids and hung from jumper cables. I reached out to both of them for this podcast, but did not get a response. I did, however, talk about the rumor that the track team was involved in Damien's death with Ryan Pello, a member of the wrestling team who is the same year as Damien. You first heard from Ryan in episode 3, when he talked about how student ID cards worked at Western. In addition to being Damien's teammate, Ryan also knew Anthony Rios.
Me and Anthony had class together, too, and so we talked about it, and we talked about it because, you know, we kept hanging out after that. I mean, Anthony was a chill guy.
I asked him about his reaction to the rumor coming out of Pueblo that Damien was beaten up by track kids.
The idea that, like, the track team or the cross-country team was really heated about this fight and that they wanted, you know, revenge on Damien, that, in your opinion, is...
completely unfounded, because, I mean, Anthony was okay with it. I remember sitting in class and he was like, yeah, I wasn't even really feeling the punches just because, you know, he was shooting, he was kind of, you know, intoxicated. It's one of those things that you have people there that they're all wrestlers, so you really don't care about kind of confrontations like that, because you got to step in there and break it up, because, you know, that's your guy versus a guy that's like another athlete on campus, and since you're kind of a tight-knit thing, you don't want to see any of that stuff.
I wanted to get Ryan's reaction to the other rumor, the one that involved the possibility of the wrestlers being involved in Damien's death.
The other thing that comes up in everyone's interviews is they say after the fight with Anthony, they mention Kyle Pyatt and Zach Shank and, you know, some of the other upperclassmen talk to Damien about the fight, and I realize everybody's a wrestler in this, and so, you know, there's different descriptions of what that quote-unquote talk looked like,
yeah.
You know, and that's fueled some rumors in itself.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, like I said, I wasn't there, but I mean, I couldn't, knowing those guys that involved, knowing how, like, Zach Shank and Kyle Pyatt. Especially those guys are nice guys. They're not going to be... They probably, it was just more of a stern thing, like, you know, we don't do that. That's from what I heard. That was kind of how the talk went.
Ryan attended the wrestling party on March 29th, but doesn't remember what time he got there. He says both confrontations were over when he arrived.
Those two events had already transpired.
Yeah.
And was Damien there when you got there?
No, I didn't see Damien at all that night.
People told you, oh, this is what you missed, and told you about the fight with Anthony and about Damien getting talked to? Is that how you... Did you learn about it that night?
I didn't know. I learned about it the next day. Like, I kind of suspected some stuff had happened because some of the people worked more, like, kind of quieter than normal. I think I may have found out later that night. I don't quite remember at that point. All I know is I remember most of my descriptions of actually what happened was from Anthony.
Okay.
What kind of transpired. Because, you know, after that, you know, there's guys, most of the guys like Kyle Pyatt and them, they were super close to Damien, you know.
Yeah.
They lived together, like, the first summer, you know, as soon as he graduated high school, he moved up there and they became, like, real close.
So it was too hard for them to talk about it. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. And then, no, it was one of those things I'm not going to ask them about it, you know? That isn't my business. That's their business, you know? And the only reason why I talked to Anthony about it was because he was just in class with me and he kind of wanted to talk about it. You know, it was one of those things that you can kind of get that read of people, and because he felt like he wanted to make sure that he didn't do anything wrong. Like, and I think you just kind of want confirmation for me, because I knew he didn't do anything wrong. Because, I mean, that's a weird situation for that guy to be in.
Oh,
you can only imagine that.
I asked Ryan if there was anything from that weekend that still stood out to him as unusual.
It all just kind of sits weird in my mind, because the only thing I really know that made it weirder was just Dad kind of, like, making tons of accusations and stuff.
Right. Well, I mean, the biggest thing that drew the dad's suspicion and confusion about everything was whenever he initially tried to get a hold of Damien, the university told him that Damien was in class and that Damien was in the cafeteria. And that was on Monday. And so he thought his son was still alive. And that's a really hard thing to be told, that your kid is doing what they're supposed to do, they're showing up at class, and then to get a call a couple days later and be like, oh no, he's actually dead, and he's been dead for 3 days, and we were mistaken. And so that's, like, been a huge issue, you know, for the dad, and honestly, for me as a journalist, it's one of the questions you asked, you know, what do I want to answer? I want to know how he was signed into class and how his meal card was used. And I feel like there could be an innocent explanation for that. But I kind of feel like somebody needs to step up and say it so that we can put to rest the idea that there was, you know, that he was alive, number one. Was he alive that day? Did he go do these things?
If you have information about Damien's case, contact us securely at finaldaysonearth.com. On the next episode of Final Days on Earth, The Life and Death of Damien Hurd, detectives delve into the world of drugs on the Western campus. And the connections to the track team just keep coming.
I want to assure you, my investigation is not a narcotics investigation. It's trying to determine what happened to Damien.
I know he was on the cross-country team. I'm looking at the roster right now to try and see the name.
So the kid that actually used the acid with Damien's on the cross country team?
Yes, sir.
Final Days on Earth is recorded in Dallas, Texas for Cold Case Productions in partnership with Podcast One and Live by Live. Each episode is written, reported, and produced by me, Claire Sanima. Original theme music composed and performed by Riley Simmons. Songs licensed from premiumbeat.com are Bending Truth and A Thin Line. Editorial consultant is Lucy Scott of lucymedia.com. Additional production help from Amber Robinson, Janice Sue, and Elise Weber. Executive producers are Sharon Richards and me, Claire Sanima. Special thanks to Gary Hurd and Ryan Pello for talking to me in this episode. Tune in next week as we continue our search to understand what happened to Damien Hurd and who, if anyone, is responsible.